with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Oh, we love a Thursday podcast because it is Iron Chef Thursday. I get to taste the best food in the world.
And today on the menu was a chicken parma.
Yeah, this is our riskiest one yet because I may have got salmonella. I mean, the fact that I'm reading this may be a clue as to how it went.
Oh, if you want to check it out, though, you can go to our Instagram as well. Give us a follow, HitGV.
It's well worth it. Mark Howie Howard, he's a legend, that bloke.
Legend.
Host the Howie Games, joined us. He's got an amazing guest on his latest podcast, number 100 for him as well.
Love to see his phone and his contacts because he would have some great numbers.
Oh, especially after hearing some of the guests as well. A couple of fun things we did. Most food you've smashed in a sitting as well.
Weapons. There's a few of you guys out there. Plus, how old were you when you left home? We actually looked for the oldest and we got a couple of beauties.
Yeah, unbelievable. A whole bunch of other stuff in there, including the new spotting of the Loch Ness Monster. You'll hear it all in today's Catch Up. Enjoy it and thanks for downloading.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Some people love their food. I know I do. You do. There's some people who just love it. I've got a friend who doesn't love it, and I find it the most strangest thing in my life.
Food is my number one love in the world. Like, it's just everything. If you want to see Josiah happy, you feed me.
Hence feed him why sweets, too.
And that, too, my good. Oh, last night. Sorry, this is off topic. I had a real healthy. I made that eggplant nasu dengaku.
Oh, you've been trying to nail it. How'd you go this time?
I nailed it last night, right? And I had it nice and early, which meant because it wasn't a biggest meal, I was quite hungry later. The poor block of hazelnut Cadbury.
It's got gone, isn't it?
The whole thing, just in one sitting. It took me, I reckon, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's not even a sitting. It's one bite nearly for you.
That was a meal. That was just heaven.
And that's what I want to talk about. People who can smash food and a lot of it quick. Because there's a girl over in the UK named Kate Ovens. She's 26 and she's tiny. She's a tiny little thing, like little blonde little girl. But boy, oh boy, can she put back some food. She is a champion, so much so that she has her Instagram dedicated to her eating food. Now, her most recent task was to eat some fish and chips. Now, I love a good fish and chips, had some on the weekend. But for her, she took it to a whole new level. So it was a 4,000 calorie dish. Definitely don't recommend actually eating this.
Good effort in one sitting.
Now, the fish is 1 kilo of cod. And then she had a whole thing of chips covering next to it. And she had 30 minutes to eat all this. And she did all that. And to finish it off, she knocked back a pint of beer.
Well done, love. Well done. That is a huge effort.
That is an incredible effort. She looks so innocent. She puts this photo up.
She's
like,
hot. Hey. She's super hot. She just sits there all in, like you said, innocent.
And then next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. She just devours the fish and chips.
Well, do you ever watch those hot dog eating competitions? They have them in like America. They have them in Japan as well. The guys that always win them, they throw down some. They're always the tiniest guys.
It's something about your stomach. There's like training to get it to actually open up and expand. So I've watched a lot of Man vs. Food, obviously.
Oh, you have, clearly, yeah.
Now, for me, I can't remember a specific time where I ate, say, 18 pizzas and knocked it back. But I know for me, I always just don't stop eating. Like, I think food's going to run out. So if you go to a tapas restaurant and you're having your tapas before your mains, I'll get nervous that I'm going to be sat on the tapas, so I eat them all. And then I have to eat my main, obviously, and then I have to have dessert.
I was at Northern Republic in Euroa on the weekend with my roommate Morgs and a couple of friends of ours, and we're sitting there, and they're like, do you want desserts? And we're like, we can't eat anymore, but yes.
Yes.
You know, like, we were that full, and then they brought out one, and then they said, oh, we accidentally cooked too many, we're going to bring you more. They end up bringing us three lots of these donuts, and we just kept going through them and through them, and we finished every one, and we looked at each other going, how did we just do
we're
that?
Animals. We're disgusting, but I'm also proud of myself.
I love every bit of it as well.
And that's what I want to know this morning. Have you done something where in one meal you've blown your own mind with how much food you consumed? I know that you've done something you mentioned with licorice.
Oh, my goodness. When I was about 5 years old, I remember getting, remember those meter-long black licorice things used to get at the school canteen? I ended up getting, I think, 10 of those. And I remember my grandparents picked me up from school, and it was about an hour drive back to their house. And I remember smashing, just sitting there secretly eating in the back seat. I had diarrhea for the next week.
Yeah, green one at that. It's not good. It's not pleasant, but it's a cracking effort. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, the effort. How much food have you consumed in one sitting?
13, 12, 16's our number. My sister, Bronte, she is the tiniest little thing you've ever seen. She would be 45 kilos at best. She's about 3'2", this girl. And I've watched her knock back two pizzas.
Legend.
It is an unbelievable effort. If you can match that or do better. 13, 12, 16, just before I said my little sister, the tiniest thing you've ever seen. I watched her smash down two pizzas once. We couldn't believe she did it. She heard me talk about it. She just sent me a text, something even more unbelievable. Her boyfriend, he's Polynesian. She reckons she watched his uncle when they're over in New Zealand smashed down 2 servings of spaghetti, and he ate it with, listen to this, a whole loaf of bread. A whole loaf of bread, 2 lots of spaghetti. Massive effort.
Yum.
That is a good effort.
Fair few carbs there. Great if you're running a marathon the next day.
Yeah. 13, 12, 16, the most food you've eaten in one sitting. We're celebrating it this morning. Megan's in Tatura. How much did you smash?
Look, guys, I'm really not proud of it, but me and my mates were at the pub last year, fond memory of going to the pub, and I'd finished my dinner. I had steak and chips and veggies, and then I was dared to do the 1 kilo rib challenge. And I thought, why not do it? And I smashed the 1 kilo rib challenge and then finished it off with a beer.
No way.
My dessert.
Great effort,
Megan. Atta girl, Meeks. Atta girl.
Thank you.
How did you feel afterwards?
Not great. Not great for a long time.
Did you get anything for it, like a t-shirt or a name on the wall?
You got you got a round of beers for the table.
Legend. Doing it for the team there, Meeks.
Yeah.
Oh, great effort. We appreciate your call this morning.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Donald Trump, he's on the rally at the moment because there's an election later this year, I believe in November. So he's trying to get his fans and crowds up to scratch so he gets re-elected. He has sold out. There was talk early in this week that the place was half empty. This time he did sell it out. He was in Arizona and he was saying the coronavirus is going away. It's the fake news of the people. Mm-hmm. The media is trying to overhype the problem. He's trying to play it down a little bit, even though in Arizona at the moment, they're going through a second wave similar to right here in Melbourne in Victoria.
They had the most deaths and recorded new cases in one day. On the same day, he said, if you don't test people, then you won't know.
They also have one of the highest testing rates. However, the US alone has had 2.4 million confirmed infections. Death tolls pushed past 123,000 people. It's a lot of people. There was not many people in the crowd, which is even more concerned, wearing face masks. There's a lot of footage going viral. What else has gone viral is Donald Trump likes to call the coronavirus or the COVID-19 many different names.
Yes.
We heard China flu the other day.
Yeah.
He's come up with one. Well, he mentioned it in March and he's doubled down on it. Let's see if you can pick it.
Wuhan. Wuhan was catching on. Coronavirus, right? Kung flu, yeah.
Crowd loves it.
Oh, Jesus.
Kung flu.
That's his new name for it. He mentioned in March it caused an uproar. Hasn't said it for a while, but the crowd seems to love the new.
Kung flu.
Kung flu. Little racist.
I just don't get him, and I don't get how he's the leader of that country, the free nation.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? The crowd went into an uproar you can hear.
And but in a good uproar, like not a bad one. If it was us, we'd be going, no, booing. They're cheering like a great uproar.
It's been made into a song as well already. They're pretty quick over there, the Americans, aren't they?
Very good.
Donald Trump, he is a recording artist like you've never heard. Turn this up in your cars.
Everybody was kung flu.
Not bad. Works out. It works well, doesn't it?
It's very good.
Kung flu.
I actually don't mind it. If that's what he was aiming at doing, I kind of can get around Donald Trump.
I mean, he's got tactics in every field at the moment. I don't know what he is getting at. I just hope for America's sake that they don't vote him in. Again, who knows?
Oh, I'm telling you right now, he'll get in.
They're saying it'll be very, very close. Very close.
They also said Donald Trump has a 0.01% of getting elected the first time. And look who's the president of the current country, a man that sings these songs.
I feel sorry for them. Just look at their medical system at the moment. You feel so sad.
On the other side, though, the economy's at the best it's ever been for a while.
Yeah, because they've got people dying.
Until coronavirus came through. And that's why it's strange when old mate's making jokes.
Kung flu.
Calling it names like that.
He's got a new song out, though.
It just seems unbelievable, doesn't it?
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
It's a very, very special day, Herbs.
That's right. It's Thursday, which means Iron Chef Thursday. It's time for it.
If you missed last week, Herbs attempted a very, very tough dish.
I have cooked the stir fry. So you've got a beef stir fry with vegetables and some hocking noodles.
But the moment of truth is here.
I'm a little nervous today. I think one of the elements I might have not done well.
Herbie's done it again.
Yeah!
Nailed it. Beef stir fry.
Unbelievable. So for those playing at home, I use an iron to cook a meal. and it's been quite successful of late. We've done apple crumble, we've done a stir fry, we've done pancakes, and even an egg. But today we're taking it to a whole other level. And another level which means trust.
Yeah, I'm nervous because not just trust. I'm kind of putting my life on the line with today's Iron Chef
not
Thursday.
Not life. Let's be dramatic.
We'll tell everyone what it is and I'll tell you it is my life.
So we're cooking chicken, which means, yes, salmonella. You could get a little dose of that if I don't do this correct.
Salmonella kills people every year.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
It does. It's not going to kill you.
It could.
It's not going to. Okay?
I'll sue you.
I'm not just doing any chicken. I'm doing a chicken parma, the classic. And this is going to be unbelievable if I can pull this off.
How? So tell us what ingredients you've got this morning.
Well, I've got the chicken that I will be coating myself. And I've gone for cornflakes crumbs. Didn't know they were an option until I checked them out at the supermarket last night. We've got some ham. I've got some cheese. I've got some tomato. It's all going to come together. And hopefully by the end of this show, we will have a chicken parma served to you that you'll consume and not get salmonella from.
My concern is you can cook chicken in an oven. You can cook it on a fry pan. Mm-hmm. You're using like an aluminium foil tray on top of an iron. Do we reckon it's going to have the same effect?
I'm hoping so. That is the plan.
The other question is, before I take a bite of the chicken parma, do I get to see whether it's pink or white?
I mean, it's sort of a trust game because it's crumbed, so...
Oh, yeah.
Look, if you bite into it and it's pink, you're allowed to spit it out.
Okay.
Deal.
All right, we'll roll with that one. Before 9 o'clock this morning, we're going to reveal all the results. I feel like chicken normally takes about 10, 15 to cook. You might need a bit longer on that
thing. I think so. If you want to follow along, you can go to our Instagram at HitGV and see all the previous Iron Chef meals there. But also, you can vote if you think I'm going to give you salmonella or not.
I'm going to vote yes, only because I want tomorrow off.
Of course.
If I do get it, it's the solo Herbie show for a Friday. Stay tuned. Hit GV on Instagram. We'll keep you up to date as the morning goes on.
Wake up. Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
The Howie Games. It's a brilliant podcast for all sports lovers. Episode 100 drops today with his biggest guest yet. And to tell us who it is, he joins us now. Morning, Howie.
Hey, g'day, Josiah and Herbs. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, Adam Scott.
Wow.
For episode 100. I'm pretty happy about it, too. It's taken me 3 years, boys, going through all sorts of people and management teams. But, yeah, Adam is episode 100. Pretty iconic when he won the Masters, and he's fantastic talking about it. So, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped.
Now, Josiah, I know, is very excited because he secretly is a massive, massive golf lover. Your cousin is actually...
Professional golfer,
so he's into it. Now, what can we expect from Adam Scott? Is he very open on the podcast?
Well, that's the thing. You don't normally hear from Adam in this format because he's a pretty low-key guy, Herbs. He doesn't normally say much, so I wasn't sure how it was going to go, and he was fantastic. He tells some great stories about the first time he beat his dad as a 12-year-old. His dad's a professional golfer as well. He talks about Tiger Woods. He takes you behind the scenes in the world of golf. But when he starts talking about the Masters and he goes through the last couple of holes shot by shot, I had goosebumps. So, yeah, he's really, really good. He's a lovely fella, is Adam.
We love your podcast, Howie Games. In the intro, we heard some of the guests that you have had on. The list goes on and on and on. Is there one person that does stand out above the rest in terms of who you spoke to that you just thought, wow, that was incredible?
Yeah, Herb, it's a good question. It's like trying to choose which is my favourite children, which I have various days where I could do that for you. For different reasons, there's one that no one will know, a guy called Jack Jones, which is really early on. Jack was a VFL footballer, but he served in Papua New Guinea in the Second World War, and his descriptions of mateship and courage blew me away. Luke Longley was incredible because he talks all about playing with Jordan and checking into hotels under assumed names. When the Bulls were at their biggest, he used to check into hotels, Luke, as either Norman Gunston or Bruce Dool. So he told some brilliant stories. Kate Campbell's fantastic. Paddy Mills, you heard there at the start. I reckon Paddy Mills could be Prime Minister of this country one day. He's just so good at understanding people and crossing cultures. So all of them, but there's a few highlights along the way.
How do you have a massive, you know, team of producers? How do you get these guests on? Like, it's a great get.
No, I don't. I don't. I heard, I think it was Andy Lee at one stage talking about how after he'd spent some time with his beautiful partner at the time, Megan Gale, it made it a lot easier for him to be attractive to the opposite sex. Because the girls were like, well, if he went out with Megan Gale, he must be okay. And it's been the same with the podcast. So at the start, I'd rely on friendships with Adam Gilchrist or Ricky Ponting or Mark Webber or these guys that I'd worked with and knew. And then once you send out a list to a potential guest saying you've had these people on, it's like, oh, well, he mustn't be a complete donkey because they came on the show. So it sort of works that way.
Well, we're now adding you to our list. So hopefully you look great to other people when we ask for interviews.
Well, I'm not sure that's going to help. I'm not exactly meat gala. Give you the tip.
Please, Goulburn Valley, do yourself a favour. Get around the Howie Games episode 100. Adam Scott, it is out now on Podcast One. Thank you so much for your time this morning, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Majority of us, we move out of our home eventually, our parents' home that we grew up in. There comes a time in your life where you go, I've got to leave the nest. But for some people, it can be quite overwhelming. And this was exactly what happened for a five-year-old boy over in Canada. So his mum, her name's Caitlin, and they were watching a TV show where her five-year-old son noticed a character in the program didn't live with his mum anymore, and he wasn't too happy about it. Listen to his response.
Why are you crying?
Because.
Why? Tell mummy why.
My dad wasn't found.
You would live with him for a long, long time. Huh? You hold my hand. You'll always be my little boy. I love you.
It's very sad. It is an emotional thing. I feel like saying to that kid, man up, it's more emotional for the parents than for you.
But at 5 years of age, you don't want to be leaving just yet. It's quite sad. I do love that they're having the conversation early. Like, she's really letting him know you're not staying here forever. I love you at the moment, but eventually you're going to have to leave.
I mean, she was trying to make him feel better. She's got a bit of remorse. Unlike my own mother, Paula, shout out to you. She'd be listening right now. She put in a rule that I reckon she told us when we were 5 years old, every single Sharla kid in our family, myself and my two sisters, if you're still at home by 26, you're kicked out. No matter what, she will not have someone under her roof by 26. I moved out at 20. My other sister, Shanna, moved out at about 22. Bronte is still living with mum and dad.
How old's Bronte?
She's 25 and a half.
Oh, she's got 6 months.
Yeah, in October. So even more so, October she turns 26. Will they stick to it?
Question for you. Do you reckon, because that was the rule at 26, what if you needed to move back home? Can you move back home later, say you've got your wife and kids?
Nah, no chance. No. Mum and dad would say, unless it's like emergency, you know, situation, they're not going to leave me homeless on the streets, but they would, you know, they'd shelter you and actively look for a place, and dad would charge me a lot of rent. That was their rule as well. The minute you finish school and finish studying after school, if you're not studying, just working, we're charging you rent.
That's the same as our family. So I moved out at 21. My older brother, he moved out similar age. My three younger brothers, though, they're still at home.
What are they?
Carl's 24, Sean's 22, Liam is 20. Carl, to his credit though, he was moving to the UK, had his visa and everything, but then that's not happening.
That's pretty normal. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of people.
They're not moving anytime soon though. They're three boys that get everything done by them by mum. And to be fair, I don't think mum wants them to leave because then she's got to talk to dad.
Part of me feels like I left home at 20 and I'm poor as anything. Whereas I've got a mate, Josh, he lives with his Italian family still. He's 34 years old, single still. But
there's a reason for that, mate.
The guy is, he's one of my most loaded friends.
But single and lives with mum and dad. There's your problem. Listen to that.
You know what? I'd probably switch places with him to have the lifestyle that guy lives outside of home. My goodness. It's not bad for some people, though.
It isn't bad. And that's what we want to know this morning. We want to get to the bottom of this and find out how old are you still living with your parents, with mummy and daddy. We have had a message come through from Nikki at our Instagram at HitGV. I moved back home 8 years ago and still haven't left. I'm now 42.
42. Great effort.
I love that.
If you're saving money in for a house, it's a judgment-free zone here.
You get cooked. Meals cooked for you.
Oh,
it's brilliant.
It'd be the dream. 13, 12, 16 is the number. We've got Megan Shep. How old are you? Are you still living with your parents?
Hey, guys. I do. I'm 31 and I bloody love it.
Have you moved out before or is this your first time?
I did a little stint out for a bit, but no, I just decided it's just not for me. I love it home and I don't have any plans to leave.
Do you have to pay board or is it just like everything's free, done for you?
Well, my mum just loves looking after me, so I don't want to take that away from her.
That's fair.
So does mine, though, Megan. My mum said that we all had to be kicked out by the age of 26, so I still had to get out at some stage. Are you saving a lot of money from it?
Yeah, I am. But, like, I just, you know, all my friends have partners, so I don't really have anyone to live with, and I like these roommates. I don't want to get random.
So
I love mom and dad.
So you're single there, Meg?
Yes.
Can I ask, are your parents putting pressure on you to get out at all?
No, they don't want me to leave.
That's cool. It's nice to have parents that love you, isn't it?
It's the dream.
We definitely do not have that.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Herbie, this stuff I absolutely love, and this is a topic that is quite close to my heart because yesterday there's been another spotting of the Loch Ness Monster.
Ooh. I've always been so intrigued about old Nessie. I'd love to know if Nessie is actually a thing. I mean, for myself, not that just seeing these photos that I post online, I want to be the one that sees them.
Well, I am so, you know how we talk about aliens and all that sort of stuff? The mystery around Stonehenge this time yesterday. The difference with Loch Ness Monster and why I'm so passionate about it is because with my very own two eyes, I've seen it. And not only have I seen it, my dad was filming. We were over at Loch Ness at the Urquhart Castle, which I'm about to talk about in a second because that's where this bloke seen Loch Ness yesterday as well. Dad was filming. We've rewound it that many times. You see this ripple in the water just go boom out of nowhere.
A ripple, just water, or you actually saw like a...
No, you see it. We really won't. It's like a... It's a monster. It comes out of the water.
I need to see this.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
We need to put this up on our socials.
I mean, it's very distant and very grainy, but...
Now comes the truth.
Dad has been on the show talking about it before, but Mr. Chalice, this bloke's name is, he was a British tourist. He was up there. He's just a photographer. And what I like about this story, which gives it a bit more credibility, is you get heaps of people like myself that are believers and then they see something that they get on camera and then they believe it straight away, going, that's Nessie. They don't think that it's a fish. They don't think it's anything else.
They force themselves to see what they want to see.
Exactly right. This bloke, he's like, I don't actually think it is Loch Ness. He's just chucked a photo up and he online going, hey, I got this of the water, happened to be at Loch Ness, and the internet has gone into meltdown. So this bloke is like, he's saying it's not Loch Ness. When you look at this thing, I'm going to hand it over to you right now, describe to the Goulburn Valley exactly what it looks like, because this bloke says it's a catfish. That thing is not a catfish, that thing is a monster.
All right. Okay, what I'm seeing is the water, and then you actually do see something coming out of the water. It does look like a giant fish of sorts.
But it's not the size of a fish.
No.
That thing looks like almost a skinny whale.
It does. It could, yeah. It looks bigger than a fish. But the part that's getting me is you don't see the end bit, so you don't know how long it is, or is that just the end of the tail there? That's a hard thing, it's closer than we've been before, I'd say.
And this is the thing with Loch Ness as well. I've been there. It's in the middle of Scotland. It's inland. It's not like it's like seeing something in Lake Ngambi, for example.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
It would be random seeing old Nessie in Ngambi.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't get something that big in a small little
like
weir.
Like a big trophy fish. You can't get a...
So that's why there's something truthful about this. We'll keep you up to date. They've tried to get some DNA from whatever this bloke's found. But, yeah, have a look. We might have to put up a photo on HitGV on
Instagram.
We'll
put it up on our socials. And, look, you mentioned before, Josiah, that you have proof at your home. Maybe there's someone in the Goulburn Valley that has travelled to Loch Ness and they themselves have proof. If that's the case, we could put up a whole Loch Ness files and get everyone's opinion on it.
Surely we make some coin from discovering Nessie right here in the GV.
Yes. If you've got the photo sent to us, we want the money.
Dude, it's going to be going for 1,000 years. Someone in the Goulburn Valley found Loch Ness Monster. Unbelievable stuff.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Big moment in the show right now, though.
This is huge. So every Thursday we do Iron Chef Thursdays, which means I use an iron to cook a dish. Now, I just use an aluminium tray on the iron, and I normally use silk mode if you are attempting this at home. If you are a child, definitely get an adult's help and their supervision.
We've had a few big dishes. We've had pancakes, bacon and egg rolls.
Apple crumble.
Last week was a beef stir fry. Nothing that could give me food poisoning if consumed raw.
Now, this week, we're taking our friendship, our trust to a whole new level because I've decided to go with chicken, and not just any kind of chicken, the great Aussie dish, the chicken parma.
Now, it's in front of me. She reckons she's cooked it already. Now,
I actually need to give you a warning, because I'm concerned how good of a job I've done that I believe you'll eat this, and then a proposal might come my way. Like, I reckon you want to wife me.
It's a big call. However, you do know food is the way to my heart, so you could be right, Herbs.
I know, and I know you've been eyeing off rings that you might have in your back pocket for me.
Yeah, the only concern is those rings could be something else if I do get salmonella poisoning, and it could be coming out the other end a different way.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to see how I've gone, you can go to our Instagram at HitchEV. Follow every step there. It looks bloody delicious. I've got to say that.
Hang on, Herbs. On the outside.
Yes.
However, we haven't cut into the chicken.
No.
If it's pink and I eat this, I'm gone. You can do the show solo tomorrow.
I know. And this is the level of trust that I've put into myself and my cooking skills. And normally you'd cut a little slither into the schnitzel, I'd say. No, I didn't do that. I said, no, I back myself and you're going to eat it and it's going to be great.
Look, don't want to be negative, but usually when you have a palmy, there's chips and a beer next to it. And I haven't got either. It's
well,
just
you're
a
not
palmy.
Allowed a beer on air and chips. I'm sorry.
We don't have to tell everyone I'm having a beer. I can just have it. There's a couple in the
you
fridge.
You got a chicken parma. Suck all it up right, and eat it.
All right. The moment of truth. All right, here we go, Herbs.
It looks so... I can't believe how... I think I've done better on an iron than I have at home.
Seriously, you're a better cook in the studio. Yeah. Am I cutting into the guts of it? Do
yeah,
I go straight to the middle
yeah,
or to the end?
Yeah, cut into the guts.
All right, let's see.
Oh gosh, this is it. This is nerve-wracking.
Is it pink?
It's cooked.
Oh, it's cooked. You know what? I'll give it to you. It's a little wet, but it's not pink.
Oh, my gosh. It's cooked. That really shook me.
Bit of ham, cheese.
Cheese. I've got a bit of the Napoli sauce there. He's putting it all on the fork. You've got every bit of ingredient there.
You said Napoli like a real true Italian. Napoli.
Bit of Napoli sauce on there. And now you're going to put it in your gob. Here goes nothing. I'm very confident. A proposal is coming my way, folks. It's good, isn't it?
I've been to a lot of pubs around the GV and tasted a lot of palmies in my time. Oh, my goodness, Herbie. I'm not being biased to you, but
it's good.
Whatever that sauce is on top, that tomato base mm-hmm. and that, man, if you're a pub listening in the GV, you need to hit Herbs up and ask her how to cook a palmie. Not only bring her into one of your kitchens, but she could do that on an iron.
Yeah, I could sit at the table. Everyone could watch me doing it. Just plug me iron into a PowerPoint.
Oh, Herbs, that was... I'm not joking. I'm not just saying it for the sake of radio. That is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We need to go to ads because I want to finish the rest of that palmy. But Goulburn Valley, if
it's
you want
Palmer,
to check
by
it
the
out...
Way.
I say palmy.
Yeah, you're from New South Wales, mate.
Let's have a fight off air. Hit GV on Instagram is the place to go. Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook. You can check out all the progress on our stories.
Are you getting married?
You know what? You're not far off a proposal after that. Well done, Herbs. Wake up.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Now I've got another surprise to reveal to you, Josiah, because I don't know if you know this, but tomorrow's a pretty big day on the calendar.
What is it?
It's Beautician's Day.
I did not know that, and I'm proud to say that I'm not rightly aware of it either.
Well, it is indeed. It's a day where we celebrate all the experts in the beauty field. And we must give them a shout out because they have done it tough over the last couple of months. Many of them had to shut down and then they've only reopened, but you can't have everyone flooding back. So well done to them for keeping everyone looking tip top.
There's a lot of great local businesses as well across the GV. Some brilliant ones. I've been to a couple as well. Really good.
It's great to see you the last week when you are walking and you might see some girls who didn't have eyelashes before and now they've got their lashes.
Yeah, a lot.
They're coming out of isolation. Look,
there's a lot more tans going on the GV as well.
Yeah, love that. Now, because it is such a big day of the calendar, one of the biggest, many would say, I actually have got something planned for you.
I don't do this. Unless it's a massage, I'm not interested.
No, look, I think you'll like it. I've actually teamed up with Wellsprings Day Spa, Kylie down there. She's helping me out on this one. And you, funny enough, lucky you're not busy today, you've got an appointment at 12:45.
What am I getting done? Is my bum getting waxed or something?
I would rather not reveal exactly just yet.
Come on, Herbs.
What you're getting done.
Is it a sack?
I haven't gone too crazy.
What do you call it? A sack, back and whack or whatever it is?
Yeah, I can confirm it's not a wax.
Okay, good.
It's not a wax. I think you will like it. It's different though.
Okay.
It's one part of it will definitely soothe you. The other part will make you look like a whole new person.
Now, Kylie and the team at Wellsprings, I've looked after them a couple times before. I mean, they've looked after me way more, but I've turned up to one of their Christmas parties shirtless, serving drinks for all the ladies that came down there. I hope this isn't a stitch-up.
Oh, they would never stitch you up. They want to help you. We want to make you beautiful. I know you think you're already the most beautiful person in the planet, and
True.
It's great to think like that, but we can go one step further and make you even more beautiful.
You better not be doing my eyebrows or something. I've got a few things on this weekend. I've got a lot of friends in town as well. If I'm going to be walking around looking all manicured, I'll be very upset.
No, you're going to look gorgeous. Your friends will be like, geez, I need to move here to the Golden Valley. What is in the water here? You're looking sensational.
What time did you say today?
12:45 today. I will be there, obviously, to help you and also film so the Golden Valley can see everything, but it will be revealed on the show tomorrow.
We're in the middle of a game of rock, paper, scissors. Herbie's feeling very confident this morning.
I don't know what it is about this game, but I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, you are. I feel like you have some sort of advantage. Are you like a psychic or something?
No, definitely not. I just go with my gut and, yeah, say it. You know, rock, paper or scissors.
Tayan from Shepparton is on the phone at the moment on the line. How are you feeling this morning?
Good, you?
Now, you guys want to play rock, paper, scissors?
Yep, let's do it.
Who's going to take me on?
I think I am.
Okay. Ooh, big one. Now, you know the rules here. We're going to go rock, paper, scissors, and then you reveal what it is. We need to have that little gap just so you guys can get have a little chance at beating Herbs, all right?
Okay.
You know she's very good.
Okay, but I think I can do it.
Hoi!
All righty, we ready to go, girls? Are we feeling good, Herbs?
I'm feeling good.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Rock!
Yeah!
Oh, Herbie's won. You know what? Let's do best of three because I want you to win this morning, Tay. Ready, girls? Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors.
Paper.
Oh, here we go. Rock, paper, scissors.
Paper.
Oh, Herbie's won two from three, Tay. I reckon it's best you just get off the phone and get on with your day. How does that sound?
Sorry, Tay. I'm just too good. I'm too good at this one.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
A lot of people have been in isolation and have found it hard, if they are single, to find love. It's been quite difficult. You and I are both in that same page. You can't get out and date every person that you meet because you're not allowed to. It's quite hard. And there has been a spike because of that in people going to websites and buying some fun toys for the bedroom.
Oh, really? I'm sure this is more targeted towards the females. Not many blokes, surely.
It's men as well, getting kinky stuff, especially men who maybe are in a relationship to get things to liven up the bedroom with their partners.
Right, each to their own.
Now that they are, you know, stuck together forever. And a bit of research has come out at the moment, which I think is unbelievable because they have claimed to found the kinkiest names of people currently in 2020.
This is a load of crap. I reckon with these lists that people come out with, they just pull them out of a hat and then be like, all right, let's make it go viral on Facebook.
I don't know. This one has a little bit of research into it. So shopping marketplace onbuy.com, they did some research to see if there was any correlation between a person's name and their sex life. And they actually studied their data for the last 3 years. So they looked at what people have bought and then the names of the people. And from that list, they have found the top 10 kinkiest names of both men and females.
I've never seen a list that contains the word Josiah, and I feel like this one isn't going to be the first.
No, I can confirm Josiah isn't on the list. But there is one name on the females list that might spike a little bit of interest.
Okay, here we go.
Now, I won't say specifically to the Golden Valley which name it is, but I'll hopefully your reaction.
Herbie, his real name is Natalie, for anyone playing at home as well, Golden Valley.
So looking at women, you got Jessica, Liz, Hannah, Sarah, Karen. That isn't your one. I love that Karen's kinky. Alicia, there's Sophia, Lisa.
Every single name on that list is has some sort of, you know, relation back to me in some way or the other.
Except Karen. But there's one in 2020 in particular, though, that does have a connection to you.
Yeah, it does.
So Sophia was on there. Going to men, though.
Hit me, is Josiah on the list?
No, but Joe is. Can we claim that?
Yeah.
We can claim Joe.
I mean, I've never been called Joe.
We've got Fred, Sam, Ryan, number two, Mike.
Like Mike. So this is a load of crap.
And number one, Charlie.
Prince Charles.
Charles, you dirty dog.
Is there a Prince Charles out there? Any blokes on that list that you know?
Jordan. Nah. I tell you, I know a Jordan. Not that I've ever dated him, but he's very sexy. I actually have dated a Charlie.
And what was he like? Was he a dodgy bloke or?
He is dodgy.
Yeah.
He's dodgy.
It's a very formal name.
He's one that you believe is just into you, but he's playing with another eight girls on
Charlie,
the side.
It's a very private school name, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, you know you're born into it and you're going to be growing up. You're not going to a public school with the name Charlie,
no.
Eh?
So what you've taken out of this, if anyone is looking for love this weekend, give us a ring, 13, 12, 16, and we'll give you the names of the people you should be hunting.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.